70% of the more than 2 million people in U.S. prisons are doing time for drug or alcohol-related crimes. But researchers at the Urban Institute say that only 15% of those prisoners are treated for their addictions while incarcerated. That means that after they're released, many may end up back in prison for committing new drug-related crimes. Now a group of prisoners at San Quentin State Prison in California are trying to break that cycle. They're training to become certified drug and alcohol counselors to treat fellow inmates. Nancy Mullane of member station KALW reports.
It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon inside San Quentin State Prison. Looking up, rolls of razor wire grip the tops of 40-foot stone walls. Uniformed guards with guns and mace are everywhere, except, that is, for inside the prison chapel. There, about 24 inmates are sitting in tight circles around the edges of the sanctuary. It's the once-a-week, all-day-long addiction recovery counseling program. After one-on-one counseling sessions and a class on tobacco addiction, the men have gathered for group counseling and are talking about some of the toxic ingredients in tobacco.
How about arsenic?
Arsenic, yeah.
Cyanide.
Cyanide
was used for gas chambers, and they got that in tobacco?
Yeah, it's legal.
The men lean in to listen to Brian Smith. He's served 24 years of a life sentence. He's also the group's counselor in training.
So are you guys experiencing any kind of stress? Or
I'm sure everybody has it, whether they realize it or not. You know what I mean?
Prison and jail is pretty high on the list.
And
it's
divorce.
Right up there with divorce and life-threatening medical issues.
Smith guides the discussion. 2 years ago, this kind of peer counseling program wasn't available to prisoners anywhere in the country. Today, San Quentin's program is one of a kind. It all started when Smith and a half dozen other inmates began looking for a drug treatment program to bring into the prison that would go beyond what they already had. Inmate Don Kronk.
At one point in my incarceration, I realized that addiction is just one part of the problem. It's just the symptom, the actual outward appearance of what's really going on inside. And I realized that there's a lot more to this, and just an AA group or something wasn't going deep enough.
Kronk says what the group found was the California Association of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse Counselors, or CADAC. It was right about then that Claire Elizabeth DeSofia, a licensed psychotherapist, was beginning to volunteer at San Quentin.
The first day that I got there, I discovered that there was no drug and alcohol treatment program there, and I was really shocked.
DeSofia began working with the inmates and found an ally in the prison's warden, Robert Ayers.
It's easy to underestimate inmates, by thinking they're just a bunch of criminals and thugs and, you know, single-digit IQs and things like that. And the reality is they're not.
Addiction specialists at local universities and drug and alcohol treatment centers came into the prison to teach the credential classes. Nina Ferraris was the first to volunteer.
They were so in want of education.
Ferraris is program manager at the John Muir Behavioral Health Center for Recovery and an assistant professor.
I have taught a lot of classes, and I have never taught a class where people were so receptive. They did their work so well. They were respectful. They were excited about it. They asked a lot of questions, and then their personal histories just completely support the work that we're doing with them.
The men's personal histories involve failing educations, serious drug and alcohol-related crimes, such as manslaughter and robbery, and years of prison. Ferrara says that life experience uniquely qualifies them to counsel fellow inmates. Inmate Bobby Brown is one of the counselors in training.
We know when they're not being truthful with us. They can't get past us on that. Or even when they're in denial, we know the symptoms of denial because we've been in denial for a long time.
So Bobby Brown and a dozen other inmates took the 7 courses, studying such things as case management, the neurobiology of addiction, and law and ethics. Then they began the 4,000 internship hours, counseling fellow inmates. And earlier this summer, they took CADAC's rigorous 3-hour written exam. A month later, CADAC's executive director, Rhonda Messimore, returned to the prison with the results. After moving through the prison's layered security, Messamore joins the men anxiously waiting in the chapel. She pulls the dark blue credential folders out of her case and one by one announces the names of those who passed.
I am honored to call Robert P. Morales.
Again and again, the men erupt in cheers. Tears fill their eyes as they rush to hug one another.
Does not come without hard work, the German D. Yamboa.
For a brief moment, the walls of the prison seem to evaporate as the chapel fills with the sounds of celebration and success. 9 of the 11 men have passed the test. Looking around the chapel, one of the inmates is standing against the wall, clutching his certificate in his hand. He's overcome and looking for a place to cry. There is no private place in prison, so he puts his face to the wall and sobs, his shoulders heaving. Back in the circle, Brian Smith speaks to everyone about what the certification means.
It's hard to wake up in a cage every day unless you do have a dream. And we just appreciate it all. And there's not enough words that I could say, and I'm sure some of the men could comment on, but this is a good day. It's a good day. We just thank everybody.
After 24 years in prison, Brian Smith learned yesterday that his request for parole was granted. On the outside, he plans to use his counseling certificate to get a job and help others stay out of places like San Quentin. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Mullane.